Good Friday is the apocalypse of the hidden king. We've been walking through apocalyptic parables. The parable of the tenants. The king says, surely if I send my son, they will respect him. They won't. The king holds a banquet for his son's wedding. The great of the land refused to come. So he brought in the meek and the lowly, so the wedding hall is filled. The bridesmaids await the bridegroom. He is delayed. The smart ones bring oil, and they are welcomed into the party. The hidden king is revealed at the end of time, and the world is judged according to how they received him. Palm Sunday was the triumph of the hidden king. In the Roman world, the triumph was a great parade whereby the glory of the conqueror would be celebrated in the streets. We have a problem, Raj, with some of this formatting. When you transfer the slides in, make sure to keep the format of the original, not the format of the other. That'll just take a few clicks and Roger will have it fixed. Roger's scrambling. He's got so much faith in me. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. And they put a staff in his right hand. Over 100 times, the New Testament quotes Psalm 110. It does not do it here. In Psalm 110, the major emphasis is on the scepter of the king. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Goes on to talk about how the great king will smash his enemies and have victory over them and smash them with the scepter. The Roman soldiers put a staff in his hand and we await. Will he smash them? Will he kill them? Will Psalm 110 be fulfilled? You could just even just play the original PowerPoint, Raj, that I sent you. That's okay. Have I got other material in with the text? There we go. Whoops, all the way to the end of the sermon. You know how it ends? Okay, here we go. There we go. Okay. Good. This Jesus that just a few days ago was welcomed into the city by the triumphal crowd was declared the Son of David. He banished blindness and lameness by healing the blind and the lame from the temple. Now crowds demand not just his death, but most of all his public humiliation. He is handed to imperial soldiers to do the work. His disciples are in hiding, and he is now beaten, stripped. In mockery, a Roman robe is put on him. The crown depicts rays of light, but in this case, it's thorns that pierce his head. Psalm 110 says, "The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, 'Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young man will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord was sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth.'" That's not what happens on Good Friday. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff, his own staff, and struck him on the head again and again. The king is hidden in plain sight. This is the man who stilled the storm. This is the man who made the blind to see and the lame to walk. This is the man who rode an unbroken animal. Is this the man who raised the dead? Isn't it easier to injure than to heal? Why doesn't he not strike the blind like they did outside of Sodom? Why doesn't he make them lame so they can't be cruel? Why does he not strike them with the staff or turn it into a spear or a sword? He absorbs their mockery of himself and the people he would rule. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink. Jesus was likely weakened by the beating and couldn't carry the cross piece. Cyrene is in present-day Libya on the north coast of Africa. They grabbed him to carry the cross. His sons would later join the church and be known by the church, Alexander and Rufus. The wine was laced either with something to numb Jesus or to poison him to hasten his death. But he refused. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lot. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They mocked him as a foolish insurgent. The Roman soldiers were likely not from Italy. Josephus says they were from the Roman province of Syria. They were there to make sure that no one would interfere with the death. The sign above Jesus again reveals him as the King of the Jews, again and again and again in this story that we've read. The hidden king is present, and he is mocked, and he is killed. He is revealed, but revealed in a way designed to offend Jesus, the Jews, and the work of God, to show the supremacy of Rome over any would-be claimants to its dominion. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Jesus is crucified between two insurgents, those who would rearrange the political order. A Son of God is someone who commands outcomes. Even to this day on a live stream, some Muslims came in and said, "Oh, Jesus wasn't crucified. He was switched by God at the last minute because God would never allow such a great prophet to be humiliated and crucified like this." A Son of God is someone who is effective in conquest, someone who is effective in outcomes. The crucifixion itself and Jesus seeming impotent in saving himself is actually an interesting testimony that many today dismiss. Many will say, "Jesus never claimed to be Son of God. If he didn't claim so, why did they mock him in this way?" The testimony of his enemies, recorded here in the Bible, given to mock and deride him, bears witness to the fact that it was publicly known that he, in fact, claimed to be the hidden king, come to redeem God's enslaved people. The same goes for his miracles. They mock him as a liar or a lunatic. He is, in their mind, now on the cross, exposed. From noon till 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He lifted it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "No, leave him alone and see if Elijah comes to save him." First the soldiers mock him, then the people mock him. The Son of God was a title imagined even for those who would be seen as fortunate. But now nature seems to be responding to the events on the ground. Darkness was a plague in Egypt against the Egyptians. The numerous Old Testament passages about the day of the Lord often had darkness as an element. The sun refuses to shine upon this crime against its author. Could a father forget his son? Psalm 22 is what Jesus quotes here. The prophet Hosea is asked, could God forget his son? Parables about the father's love for the son who would be wed were what Jesus said before. How could this be? So the mockery continues. And then the turning point. And when Jesus has cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. It wasn't until the 19th century that people began to speculate what caused his death. All the way up until then, everyone had believed Jesus gave up his spirit. Jesus died on his own terms. Notice the series of apocalyptic signs that start in heaven and move all the way down to the earth and under the earth. Notice the direction. We'll see the same direction on Easter. Darkness, which is in the heavens. Jesus gives up his spirit. The temple curtain is torn from top to bottom, not bottom to top. The temple connects heaven and earth. That's what temples do. The earth shook, rocks split, tombs were open under the earth. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. It's a strange story. Did they become alive on Easter morning? That's when they appeared. We don't know. The dead are raised after Jesus' resurrection, and they go into the city and appear to people. Jesus is the beginning of a larger resurrection. Now things start moving in the other direction. We started our story with the soldiers mocking Jesus. Now suddenly, with his cry and his death and the darkness and the tearing and the earthquake and the tombs, the Roman soldiers are paying attention. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. Why would they be terrified? The Romans were like this. There were all sorts of signs and portents when great things happened. It said that there was an earthquake in the Alps when Caesar was killed in the Forum. Josephus records many signs and portents in the temple. Just before in 70 AD, when the temple was to be destroyed, Romans were always looking for signs, and when they saw this, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." The motivated mockers have been silenced, and the observers, who don't have a dog in this fight, are witnesses to the death of the hidden king. They mocked him before the crucifixion, and now they see. That's what apocalypse means. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus, a hidden disciple for the hidden king. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. The turning point is reached. The women stay with him. The hidden disciple comes forward to claim Jesus' body. Things are about to come back in reverse. The women were witnesses to the crucifixion. They would be to the resurrection. Joseph of Arimathea steps up at risk to himself to claim Jesus' body. Where's Peter? This is the apocalypse of the hidden king. Apocalypse means unveiling. The hidden king is seen in a way the world has never seen anything before. He was mocked as a lunatic. He was mocked as impotent. He was mocked as God forsaken. He will be worshipped as the truth. He will be worshipped as all powerful. He will be worshipped as having all authority in heaven and on earth and being the very Son of God. Happened that night, and hardly anyone saw. He is revealed to the pagan centurion and the troops. His true disciples will be revealed in time. He is hidden beneath the bread and the wine. He is seen in the breaking of the bread. He is hidden within the body of Christ, assembled around the table. This is the apocalypse of the hidden king. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. This is how I will be seen from now on. I'll be seen in your churches. I'll be seen in your deeds. Whenever you are broken for me, I will be seen by others." It's in the breaking that the apocalypse happens.